Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Danker, Bharati Jagdishan, Ryan Hwang with you. It's time now for the bigger picture.
And lots of activity in the REIT space, I understand, Ryan. And this is something definitely worth looking into more deeply. Tell us more.
That's right, Bharati. So the latest this morning is a shopping spree by Mapletree Logistics Trust, buying 17 modern grade A logistics assets valued at $1.4 billion in China, Vietnam and Japan. And also there's been a spate of M&A recently with ESR and ARA logos. So what are the investment opportunities in the REIT space? Let's get a bigger picture from Kam Sok Ching. She is the Head of Southeast Asia Research for Credit Suisse Private Banking. Morning, Sok Ching. How are you doing today?
Hi, good morning. I'm well, thank you.
Hey, let's dive into the REIT space. And you've got your eye very closely on what's happening there. And in the past year, we've seen REITs doing actually pretty okay. Walk us through how the sector has been performing versus the other asset classes.
Sure. The Straits Times All-Share REIT Index, which is the benchmark for Singapore REIT, has actually underperformed the broad market as well as property shares over the last 1 year, with a total return of 9%, 5 percentage point of which is from distribution yield. But I would add that against a backdrop of a start-stop reopening in Singapore and, of course, rising bond yields, the REITs, as you said, have actually held up quite well.
Okay, if you look at other asset classes, is this an industry or sector that is set to continue to outperform?
Well, for S-REIT, I think the headwinds are fading. I mean, for example, let's look at, say, you know, the rising bond yields. Rising bond yields pushes up the discount rates on dividend streams, which is negative on valuations, especially for high-yield stocks like REIT, which explain the sector's relative underperformance against other asset classes. But if you were to look at the last tapering cycle in 2013, 10-year bond yields, when the U.S. Fed announced its decision to reduce asset purchases, that was back in December 2013. Now, in the last 12 months, 10-year Singapore government bond yield has gone up by about 80 basis points, or 0.8%, to about 1.8% currently. That's quite a sharp increase in a short time. Now that the U.S. Fed has announced its tapering plan and its November meeting, I do expect the path of the increase in the bond yield to be a lot more measured going forward, so it should be less of a headwind for S-REITs. Now, of course, I think the market is also concerned about rising short-term interest rates. It's negative for S-REITs in so far as it increases the cost of borrowing. For S-REITs, average gearing is about 35 to 36%. This is the regulatory limit of 50%. Many of them have also hedged their borrowings into fixed rates. So I'm not that concerned, really, about the impact of rising borrowing rates on REITs. So by and large, I think that headwinds in terms of, you know, rising rates, for instance, are fading. So I do see a relatively benign environment for REITs, you know, in the months ahead.
Yeah, the rates will be interesting to watch, especially if Jay Powell keeping his job for a second term. Now, let's dive into the various REIT space sectors, the subsectors. You've got retail, office, industrial, and hospitality. And if we start with retail, what are the key issues here to watch out for? If you look at the backdrop of COVID-19, we've seen a lot of businesses under pressure. Has that played into lower rent revisions? And how much does this impact the landlord, so to speak?
Yes, year-to-date, the rentals of retail space in the central region have fallen by 7.4%. And rentals will be under pressure as long as tenant sales and shopper traffic are not able to recover to pre-pandemic levels. But as we all know, retail assets are not homogeneous, and some just have more pricing power than others. And to give you an example, 2134 and Vivo City, for example, they have actually seen some positive rent reversion in September quarter. So the rent reversion experience among the S-REITs has actually been very mixed. For rent waivers or rebates offered this year, they are significantly lower than in 2020, and that has driven the growth in the distribution income for retail REITs this year. This year, the distribution per unit from the retail REITs are estimated to grow about 23%, and next year by about 10%. And the exit from stabilization phase and the easing of dine-in rules from yesterday will further reduce the need for more rental support. So really, this, together with discount valuations that the retail REITs are trading at, underpins our constructive view, especially on retail REITs with substantial suburban retail exposure, which we believe are more resilient.
Yeah, good point. Not homogeneous, but you do have some opportunities there. Talking about what's happening with COVID-19 recovery, what's going to be the new normal for office space may be different because you have some tenants changing priorities, cutting back on space. How will this play out for office REITs?
Yes, the Grade A office market actually is turning around. It has had two consecutive quarters of rental increase after the peak in Q4 2019. And what we are seeing currently is demand from technology sector and tight supply, which itself is partly due to delays in project completion. And these two sectors are more than offsetting the downsizing among the financial sector tenants. And as such, the vacancy rate in this space has dropped to about 5.8% in Q3. That's a very good number, a very strong number for office properties. And what we are also seeing is a flight to quality from Grade B office. So the rental gap between Grade A and Grade B is also widening. My expectation is for the prime office sector in Singapore to stay on a recovery path in 2022 as the economy continues to recover, because office demand is very sensitive to economic growth. On the other hand, new office supply stays tight. Some old office is being taken out of the equation for redevelopment. But in the longer term, adoption of a hybrid work model, of course, could clearly pose a threat as it reduces office space requirement. But we are actually not seeing that yet in Singapore.
Okay. And another sector I'm looking at is the industrial sector. How much does inflation play a part here? Because we've been hearing about how costs of energy has been going up. Will this be weighing on the industrial REITs?
For most Singapore factories, actually, electricity cost or energy cost is passed on to tenants or paid directly by the tenants. So the impact on industrial landlords is not big. And as to the impact of higher energy costs on industrial tenants, utilities are less than 3% of business costs based on an EDP economic survey in 2020. So again, impact is not that material. For data centers, it depends on the type of leases and how the leases are structured. In triple net leases, for example, tenants pay for all the operating costs. So I actually don't see high energy costs as a material risk for industrial landlords. And by and large, we are positive on industrial REITs given structural support for logistics and high-tech space from the recovery in global trade and also the increasing adoption of e-commerce. And forgetting that in view of the essential nature of many manufacturing activities, we should also expect fairly limited risk of workplace restrictions in the COVID-19 wave. And hence, there is likely to be less need to provide rental support.
All right, so Ching, let's wrap things up with your view on the hospitality sector. How much of a rebound are we expecting when you think about the restrictions being lifted, but also with a move away from some of these SHN contracts that the hotels have been enjoying?
Yeah, this hospitality sector has actually been a fairly volatile sector this year, but we're actually already seeing some recovery. In September, for example, hotel occupancy in Singapore hit 63% compared to 87% exactly 2 years ago. Revenue per available room, or what we call RevPAR, also recovered, but it's still half of the pandemic levels of about $205. As more countries reopen for international travel, the hospitality sector will continue to recover, but the recovery is likely to be gradual as inbound tourism today is just a fraction of what it was pre-COVID. Given the daily cap under the BTL scheme, and also considering the unsynchronized border reopening among Asian countries. We know that Singapore is usually part of a multi-destination trip for long-haul visitors. In the near term, as you mentioned, the move away from stay-home notices at hotels, they're going to result in lower contributions from government contracts once they expire. Mm. While many travelers are longer-term visitors who do not stay in hotels.
Okay, a bit of a staggered recovery here for the REIT space. We're chatting with Kam Sok Ching. She is the head of Southeast Asia Research for Credit Suisse Private Banking. Sok Ching, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO.
Available on Google Play or the App Store.